You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Pray and Expect Results. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
Subscribers to the Reader's Digest magazine were especially gripped last spring when they read the article, Does Prayer Heal? This fascinating story was a condensation of a moving experience revealed by a doctor in his book, Healing Words. This veteran medical doctor now serves on an advisory panel of the National Institutes of Health. In his book, this physician wrote of an earlier experience when he was in training in his younger days as a student at the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas. This doctor told about his first patient with terminal cancer in both lungs, and he confessed that he had advised this terminally ill cancer patient on what therapy was available, but that in his opinion, there was really no hope. The patient then decided not to ask for medical treatment, including chemotherapy. Now, in the days that followed, whenever the young doctor came to the cancer patient's room, there often seemed to be people from the local church singing and praying. And the doctor now admits that he thought, at least at the time, that these same people would soon be singing and praying at their friend's funeral. 1 year later, however, this same doctor was shocked. At this same hospital, he ran into a coworker. And this friend of his asked him if he wanted to see his old patient, the one who had terminal cancer in both lungs. I couldn't believe he was still alive, the doctor said. I immediately studied his chest x-rays. I was stunned. There was no sign whatsoever of cancer. The radiologist also admitted that his therapy has been remarkable. The doctor then began searching for explanations. And when he considered the impact of therapy, he confessed that there obviously wasn't any, unless you consider prayer a type of therapy. Now, this young medical student then told his two medical school professors what had happened. Neither of them, however, was willing to acknowledge that this cancer patient's healing was miraculous. After a few days, as often is the case in our busy world, this young doctor pushed this incident to the back of his mind. And like other aspiring physicians, he had to get on with his training. There was no time to investigate religion or any unscientific superstition, such as healing resulting from prayer. At least this is what he thought. Years later, however, this same doctor became the chief of staff at a large urban hospital. Again, he noticed that many of his patients chose to pray. At the same time, this doctor began to read medical studies, many of which were conducted under stringent laboratory conditions. These studies obviously indicated that prayer was playing a special role in significant changes taking place with health conditions of numerous patients. The most convincing study, published in 1988, was by a cardiologist who had worked at San Francisco General Hospital. 393 patients at the coronary care unit were observed. Now, one group was involved with prayer and was being prayed for. The second group was not being prayed for. No one was told which group was which. And when the study was completed 10 months later, the prayed-for patients benefited in several very significant areas. The study showed that, regarding those who were prayed for, they were 5 times less likely than the unremembered group to require antibiotics. And those who were prayed for were 2.5 times less likely to suffer congestive heart failure. And they were less likely to suffer cardiac arrest. This doctor then also told of a fellow physician who for years had no use whatsoever for hearing stories about the healing power of prayer. He had also earlier written his own book questioning the validity of faith healing. This same doctor, however, finally acknowledged that if this is a valid study, then we doctors ought to be writing on our order sheets, pray three times a day. If it works, it works. And so then, after years of struggling with the power of prayer, the first doctor I mentioned finally concluded that scientists, including physicians, can have blind spots, and the power of prayer seems to be one of them. Well, it certainly may be true that there are scientists and doctors and others who are slow to acknowledge the power of prayer. If we are honest, however, we must all admit that the lack of faith in the power of prayer is a chronic weakness of all mankind, often including many, if not most of us in the 20th century, and even among those in the vibrant and faith-filled early Christian church. For example, in the book of Acts, chapter 12, we read that King Herod had the Apostle Peter arrested and put in prison. Peter was kept in prison under special security, guarded by four squads of soldiers. Now, according to the Bible, what took place with Peter in prison is equally interesting, if not more so, than the story of the miraculous healing power of prayer discovered by the physician we just mentioned only a few moments ago. You see, while Peter was in prison, the Bible says that prayer for him was being made fervently by the local believers. Then the Bible says that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. Guards in the front of the door were watching over the prison. Then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a bright light shone in Peter's jail cell. The angel struck Peter's side and said, "Get up quickly." The prison chains fell off Peter's hands, and then the angel said to Peter, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals, wrap your cloak around you, and follow me." Peter obeyed. He followed the angel. They passed the first and second guard. Then they came to the iron gate that led into the city. The gate opened miraculously all by itself. Peter and the angel then went out into the street, and there the angel departed immediately. Peter then went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, where many other Christians were gathered together. They were praying for him. And when Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so filled with joy that she forgot to open the gate. Now, can you believe what happened? This young lady left Peter standing alone in the street. Rhoda ran quickly to tell those who were praying for Peter that he was standing in front of the gate, and those who had been praying for the apostle said, "You're out of your mind." But Rhoda kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It's an angel. It's only an angel." All this time, Peter kept knocking and knocking. Finally, they opened the door, and they saw Peter, and the Bible says they were amazed. Now, there is surely the temptation for all of us to say, why were these people who were praying for Peter's safety and for his release, why were they so foolish? Did they not believe that their prayers would be answered? But now let's also connect this miracle of the release of Peter from prison to the 20th century. People have been praying for the sick and the dying, and many even today are shocked when they learn that God has answered their prayer. And of course, doubting prayer is not only going on in the medical community. All of us are involved, you and I. We fear for our children when they are alone. We say a prayer, but all too often, our praying is more like throwing dice. We go through all the motions, but we are not really convinced that our prayers will be heard or answered. We have friends who become sick, and we say a little prayer. And again, so often our prayer is little more than an experiment with religion, rather than an act of solid and bold faith, knowing that God will both hear and answer our pleas. In the Bible, God speaks frequently, clearly, and very directly about prayer. God never speaks about prayer as a hit-or-miss experiment. Instead, God commands you and me to pray, and especially with prayer, God includes some of His greatest promises. In the Bible, in Psalm 91, for example, we read, "He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him." The prophet Isaiah writes, "Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" And again, speaking through Isaiah the prophet, the Lord says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Jesus said, And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. God's promises for prayer are indeed very powerful, and His offer for help is unlimited, and the door of His gracious heart has been opened wide for you through the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. When you pray, don't do it with reluctance because you fear that you may be unqualified to approach God. Through His death, through His bloody death on the cross, Christ has made it possible for you to approach the throne of God, not with hesitancy, but with boldness built on repentance and confidence established on your God-given faith. Through His death on the cross, Jesus has removed your sin, which blocks your approach to God. And now Jesus is saying to you, I am the way for you to God, and I am the door for you to God's heart. For this reason, Jesus is also saying to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now, isn't it a shame that we need articles and journals like the Reader's Digest and other popular magazines and medical studies to remind us of the great power and the privilege of prayer? The Bible itself is filled with stories, like the one of Peter being released from prison. These true and historic events are clear testimonies that God not only hears the pleas of His children, but that He graciously answers all of them. Of course, we all sometimes feel that we do pray fervently and even daily and hourly, but our prayers seem to go unanswered. In these trying times, we need to remember that the Bible teaches that God answers all prayers that are made to Him through the intercessory name of His crucified and resurrected Son. Nevertheless, some of the prayers that you have made to God still may seem to have gone unanswered. But this is simply because God, in His wisdom, is asking you to have patience and to wait at the right time, at the very best time for you. God will indeed answer your prayer. You see, this is God's promise, and God never lies. Sometimes God answers our prayer in a way different from what we would prefer. And sometimes God permits relatives or family members or friends to be sick for a long, long time. And sometimes they even die. But even in these situations, which involve those who are bonded to Christ by faith, even then, God is at work in His grace and mercy. God often uses sickness and He uses death as a way to draw others whom He loves close to Himself. You see, it is also true that it is often only through sickness and even death that God can get our attention. And so then, it all boils down to this. When you and I pray, we need to say, This is what I would like, O Lord, but since You know best, and since You will give me only what is best, whatever is Your will, whatever is Your holy will, O Lord, is also my joy. Blessed Heavenly Father, in Your love and grace, You have given each of us the gift of prayer. Enable all who are listening today to launch forth with a new life, revolving around daily talks with You. Instead of speaking to You only when we are in trouble and in need, O Lord, teach us to speak to You every day, pouring out our hearts as a child speaks freely to their father or mother. Heavenly Father, assure each of our listeners today of Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace in Jesus Christ. Assure them of the forgiveness of their sins and of their total and complete pardon made possible through the atoning blood of Your crucified and resurrected Son. Blessed Heavenly Father, we love You. We praise and glorify Your name. Let our hearts' daily desire be to talk to You every day because we know that this brings You great joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.